start choir practice Wednesday night. 6:30. We got Easter music on the table. It's been that long.
Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you on behalf of the members, staff, and session of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. First of all, we're collecting non-perishable food items through today, Sunday, June 13th. Donations can be dropped off to the food barrel in the narthex, or if you are desirous of giving something, the session will be here at 2 o'clock to meet. We've got an extended session meeting this evening, so feel free to drop it by later this afternoon to the fellowship hall. Cook's Marketplace is going to be held on Saturday, June 26th, beginning at 9. Spread the word to your friends, family, and neighbors. The beautiful flowers in the sanctuary this Sunday are in honor of Hazel Dunn for her, get this, 101st birthday, and in memory of Wilton Dunn on what would have been his 105th birthday. The flowers were given lovingly by their children. Y'all, I think we experienced here at Cook's Memorial Church the day like we were kind of waiting for a long time, weren't we? It was a joyful day as we had well over 70 cars here at a car show. But let me tell you what really filled my heart with such joy and amazement was to be able, for the first time since an original community supper, to see the members of this church, and I mean almost everyone here, making sure that other people were having a good time on a beautiful day in which there are pretty things to look at. I'll tell you what, if that isn't just a glimpse, a foretaste, if you will, of the kingdom that's coming, Because, you know, in the kingdom that comes, we're reminded that we're going to have real bodies. And we're going to have real unlimited time just to enjoy God and to enjoy one another. And if that doesn't summate what we were able to have yesterday, I don't know what will. It took a lot of people to make that happen. And I can't thank everyone, but certainly would be remiss to not point out Dolores Freeman, who's here with us today, as well as Dwight Black, who I don't see, but I believe there he is. Yeah, I just want to thank them personally, as well as everybody who came and did so many things here yesterday for us to really show out that there's a lot of love here at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church and a lot of excitement. Everything flows from that. And it's in that same vein of excitement that we have a moment for mission this morning. So I'd like to bring forward Petey and Gay. Oh, okay.
Good morning. It's been a while since we've been able to update you on Kajiado, so we're really happy to be here. This is Jennifer Nadell. She's the communications director for Hope for Kajiado, and of course you know Petey and I. 13 years ago, our church family began supporting Kajiado Children's Home. We are blessed to be a blessing. We've certainly blessed many children over the years, but we've received so many more blessings from them by being involved in this wonderful ministry. We've seen many children grow up to realize their goals and dreams of a better future. Their physical and spiritual nourishment have given them the foundation for a brighter future. At the same time, we've seen many more orphans rescued from a life of poverty and disease to be given an opportunity to create a better tomorrow. 13 additional orphans have been rescued since January of this year. Life at KCH is full of love, compassion, and opportunities they would not have had otherwise. Hope for Kajiado is the nonprofit born out of this church in 2014. It currently coordinates the support of over 80 orphans through 5 churches in the U.S. in 4 states, in addition to many individuals from 16 different states. Board members represent these churches and communities involved in this support. We volunteer our time and talent so that the money raised goes to help provide 95% of the home's operating budget through child sponsorships and fundraising. It is a labor of love. COVID prevented us from leading mission trips last year, but we now have 3 of our own members of the church, Petey, Sheila Black, and myself, plus 2 of our other board members, Jennifer and Jason Nadell, that'll be traveling to KCH in October of this year to take much-needed supplies and, again, God's love. Our next church-wide mission trip is planned for June of 22, and we already have our church members such as the Wills family as well as others committed to go. We're currently taking applications for you to join us on this trip next June. COVID changed our daily lives in many ways over the past year, but it had even a more drastic impact on Kenya. Their schools and many of their businesses were closed for almost all of 2020 in an effort to curtail the spread of COVID. Kenya restricted travel more than 20 minutes from their home to force people to quarantine. This negatively affected people living in poverty who lived day to day selling milk or coal to get their next meal. When the government required orphans to return to their villages to quarantine with their friends or extended family, it put an even more strain on the villagers who could barely feed their own family. Many kids came to KCH because their extended family couldn't support them. So KCH created a community food outreach program during COVID to provide food not only for these children, but for the whole family, as well as additional widows and grandparents in the village who were caring for orphans that weren't even associated with KCH. This saved many people from starvation during COVID. KCH received special travel permissions to deliver food from our garden in addition to flour, maize, and oil purchased from the local grocery store. Ruth, our social worker, and Nelson, one of our guards, used Nelson's motorcycle to deliver bags of food several times a week during COVID to different villages. So when the kids returned to KCH to start school again in January this year, repeating their grade from last year because, remember, they lost a whole year. The community food program continued. Ruth and Nelson continued to carry food to orphans and their families to help as the COVID restrictions eased and they began to get back into that working mode. But that ended on May 4th. Nelson and Ruth were hit on a major highway by a water truck, which threw them into a ravine, and then the truck ran over them. Nelson suffered cuts to his legs, but Ruth's injuries were much more serious. Her pelvic bone was broken, as well as her leg. She received tears in her intestines, requiring a colostomy. Nelson spent about a week in the hospital, and he's still recovering at home. But after 6 weeks, Ruth still remains in the hospital and continues to receive orthopedic treatments, such as an ExoFix, which is those bars on the outside of your body that screwed into your bones. Her leg bones are healing, and she was actually able to stand for the first time in 6 weeks this past week. We're taking donations to help cover Ruth and Nelson's medical expenses, and we'd like to ask for your prayers.
Number one, please pray for the children. The past year has been hard for them. They've lost a whole year of schooling, but they have survived due to the food program. Pray that we can find sponsors for 8 of the 13 new orphans. Also, please pray for Ruth. She has a long recovery to work through. She has two little sweet little twin girls, and I'm sure they've missed their mother terribly. We appreciate any help covering her past and future medical expenses. You all have been so gracious to help us, and we truly appreciate everything that you have done, your prayers, your money, your support. And we want to say Asante Sana from Kenya. Thank you.
We'll have a table outside after church today. Please stop by and just look at some of the pictures that we've taken over the years and some additional information. Thanks.
Thank you so much for bringing us up to date. Those are the announcements that we have. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Okay, that being the case, we're going to have Silas Knowles come up here and begin us with our call to worship.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice.
This is a day of new beginnings.
This is a time for growing into new disciples for Jesus.
Come, let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Let us be prepared for service to God. Amen.
Thanks, Silas. Let us pray. Holy God, creator of life, you call us out of our dark places. You offer us the grace of new life. It comes even as we see nothing but hopelessness, O Lord. You surprise us in those moments with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Call us out of our complacency. Call us out of our routines, O Lord. Set us free from our self-imposed bonds. Fill us with your spirit of life, compassion, peace, and joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, your anointed one, we pray. Amen. I invite you now to rise and join me, if you are able, in the singing of our first hymn, number 838.
Glory in the highest, on the shadow.
Please be seated. It is such a joy to have the choir in the loft behind me, because it's in those times with the great sounding voices behind me that I can delude myself into thinking I can sing as well. But there is another area in which that I am often caught deceiving myself, and the chances are you may as well, because the Bible say that if we say that we have no sin, that we in fact deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that God is one of the promises we've just sung about, that God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness as we come to him confessing in true repentance what we are ashamed of, our sin. So we pray together. We pray corporately, and then at the end we have a moment in which we can silently come before God, lifting up our individual shortcomings. I invite you to join me in this important and holy time of confession as we pray the words that are written in our bulletin. Join me. Patient Lord, you know how we are. We let the frustrations and worries of our life overcome us. Our hearts seem to buckle under the weight of anger and confusion, and we turn away from you, sure that you can do nothing to alleviate our strife. How foolish we are. How faithless we are. Please forgive us. Help us to learn that you are actively involved in our lives, not as a puppet master, but as a creative co-worker, seeking healing and hope, not only for each of us, but for the whole world. Make us into disciples of peace and compassion. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's by the waters of our baptism that we encounter a powerful biblical truth. The truth is simply this, that Christ Jesus in the fullness of time was incarnate, laid down his life for us and our salvation, and rose again, signaling that you and I shall enjoy eternity in the kingdom of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. I invite you now to rise yet again and join me in the singing of hymn number 300. Please be seated. At this point, we'd like to invite the children to come forward and have a seat up front as Mr. Mike's going to lead us in a special time just for our children.
Good morning. How's everyone this morning?
Good.
Okay. Typically, y'all know I try to give a sermon on American history and God and our founding fathers, but I'm going to change that up a little bit today. A couple weeks ago, I lost an uncle, and we at the funeral, there was a prayer given, and it really touched me, and I wanted to share that with y'all today. Jason's actually going to speak of the whole sermon today on John 14. But I want to particularly talk about the second half of that service and what Jesus said and what he did. He made a promise to us. Okay? Anybody know what? Has anybody made a promise this week to anybody? I bet you have. Ben, you made one yesterday, right?
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. He knows what I'm talking about. Ben made a promise yesterday. He bid it on a car at the auction and won. So his promise was he was going to buy that car. Well, it worked out like it did. Mama promised he could do it, and Dad bought it. So it worked out well. But he made a promise. But Jesus made a promise to us too. And we make promises big and little. One day y'all going to grow up, and you're going to make a promise to your bride. And you're going to take your bride at that time. You're going to love him unconditionally. And Jesus did that too. In John 14, the third section, Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that when I am there, you may also be. That's a pretty strong prayer, that he's waiting for us. He's going to prepare a home. This home in heaven is going to have many rooms, and that all we have to do is believe in Christ, and believe in the Holy Spirit. And that makes us Christians. Okay? Have a prayer with me. God, thank you. Okay. God, thank you for your prayers. And thank you for the promise of being in heaven one day. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. As the children are coming back to their seats, let's seek out the Lord as we come now into a time of reading and proclamation of the Word, and so we come asking God for His eternal illumination. Join me. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us, Heavenly Father, that we might hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into communion with You deeply and fully, thereby enabling us to love, and joining You to make one for You, this entire world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I am reading the Old Testament. Reading is Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For lengths of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and goodness, good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights.
Thank you so much. You know, yesterday was indeed a joy, but I also recognize that it posed a little bit of challenge to me spiritually, because as I was wandering up and down the rows of cars, I happened to fall upon a Carolina blue Ford Thunderbird convertible. And I thought, man, I want that car. I want it bad. And I found out it's one of our members, so I might ask him for it. It reminded me, y'all, of a story I read, really a hypothetical story I read years ago. I think he's a Yale ethicist. Peter Singer wrote a book called The Life You Can Save. And in it, he put forward a kind of a hypothetical. And it goes a little something like this. You're standing near a train track, and there's a fork. And on one side is a human being, and on the other is that 1955 Chevy Red Air Barrel Air convertible that I have some coveting problems with right now, right? All right, and so this beautiful car, or the T-Bird that I mentioned earlier. And as the track barrels down, you're painfully aware that one thing or the other is going to happen, because right beside you is a switch, and you can control whether the train is going to hit the human being or whether it's going to hit that cherry car, right? Well, that's an easy hypothetical, right? I think, we pull the switch and the guy gets saved, but boom, there goes the beautiful classic car. It's not that tough a decision. But then Peter Singer, this ethicist, goes on to up the ante, so to speak. And he goes, now what if that was your car, right? Not just a car, but your car. Well, still, I think we'd throw the switch. But then he says, what if into that car you'd put your retirement money, assuming that someday you could sell it and get your retirement money out? What do you do then? What if it's something more dear to you? Do you throw it then? Do you save the man? Basically, what he's putting forward in a way is the problem of scarcity. There is really only enough to do one or the other, which seems very true. I think we all have issues with the problem of scarcity. But the fact of the matter is, it's not particularly biblical, which makes it interesting when we realize that one of the guys who firmly and completely thrust into our minds and consciousness this sense of scarcity was actually a Presbyterian pastor, right? So he was also a philosopher, and if you hear me talk, you're going to know I'm a little suspect of the category. But Thomas Malthus was this pastor, and what he imagined was that, what he put down was that humans progress as numbers geometrically. So we go from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 6, well, I guess 16, yeah, to, right? But food only increases arithmetically. So 1 unit, 2 units, 3 units. So what he came up with is eventually you're going to get to this point where there literally is not enough available foodstuffs on the earth to satisfy everyone. And of course, that's the problem of scarcity. That's what frightens us. But what's interesting is the Bible doesn't have that issue with scarcity. And I can't help but realize that it does not, because it recognizes that every bit of it, every single verse, every single jot and tittle, to use the King James Version, every single part of it describes a God that is not scarce, that is not hidden, that is not lacking. We worship a God of abundance. And it's in His abundance that this problem of scarcity, well, if we'll consider it, it just goes away. As Mike told you, I'm going to read a passage that we hear a lot, I think, John 14. We hear it, to be honest, a lot of times in funeral services, because it speaks to that everlasting power and love of God. But I want us to hear it this morning in a new way, to hear it not so much as an acknowledgement of what is coming to us, which it clearly is, but understand it as a way of grasping God's abundance. And to that end, I'm actually going to do and read from the King James Version of John 14, verses 1 through 5. I invite you now to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we do not know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we've said, this problem of scarcity is not one that is particularly pertinent in the Bible, because the Bible understands that God is not a God of lacking or scarcity, but God is a God of abundance. Now look, it was in the restaurant industry that I learned a couple of neat things, and one of which was this idea that you could have food that was cheap, good, or fast, but you could pick only two, right? Because, yeah, look, Sandy's laughing because she knows, right? You can't have everything. Well, I think a lot of times we import that into our mind, but really all it takes to get something done, anything you want to think of, you have to have the ability, right? Now, like, I might really desire playing in the NBA, but let's face it, that boat, if it was ever on the water, sailed 30, 40 years ago, right? If it was ever even seaworthy, it would have sunk. But the fact of the matter is, you got to have the ability. Now, God helps with that, so we'll come back to that. You also have to have the time to do it, right? You have to have sufficient time to learn or do whatever it is you need to do. And the third one is probably the most important of them all. It's the desire to do it, right? If you have a problem, even if you have the ability and the time, if you don't have the desire, what's going to happen? Problem's going to stay a problem. And so as we come into the Bible, it's so important that we think and we look about the attributes of God that tells us that God has not only sufficient power but abundant power. That God has not only sufficient time, but abundant time. And here's the kicker. God has not only the desire of one who loves, but he has it in abundance. There is no lacking, no dearth, no shortcoming, no shortfall, no negatives as it relates to God and his provision. And so we recognize that while our human eyes may see this problem of scarcity is very real and very powerful, if we listen to the voices within, we will do wrong quite a bit of time. You see, what data shows us time and time and time and time again is that when we're anxious, that is, when we're frightened, we reduce all of the world's many choices to three simple ones. Am I going to flee? Am I going to fight? Or am I going to freeze, right? Fight, flight, or freeze. It's almost as if God has given us a defensive mechanism. We know when there's threats. And so, like I said, there's a black bear wandering around my neighborhood right now. We know it because one of the neighbors caught it on a doorbell camera, right? That's scary when you wake up and you see a black bear just saying hello to your neighbor, right? So they're out there, to be sure. But it remains yet to be a real concern. But if I let my mind go wild, that bear can be stalking me, right? It's not only in my neighborhood, it's right behind me, and I better react. But is it? You see, our minds have a problem. They can play games with our fear. We can start being frightened of not something that isn't in short supply to begin with. Guys, I'm going to have to tell them myself here a little bit. You know, when this pandemic started and we shut down the church and we shut down everything, really, I was ensconced at home with my kids with nothing but time. Time is the devil's playground, right? So I start hearing about toilet paper, right? Like, there's going to be this toilet paper shortage. And believe me, when I think of things that I want plenty of, toilet paper is one of them. And so what do? I get on Amazon. The next thing you know, I got 4 cases of toilet paper coming to my house. So much toilet paper, we didn't have storage room for it. So coming into our house was like, welcome to Big Lots toilet paper. Right there they are. Was there ever any problem with toilet paper? No, there really wasn't. What there was there was an us problem. Well, specifically a me problem. I called it stockpiling and not hoarding, but I think it's the same thing, just a better sounding word, right? But see, there's an example of where my mind created a fear that need not exist, and I took an action I would not normally take. Friends, it's funny when it's toilet paper. It's another matter altogether when your fear allows you to freeze at that switch and let the train cream somebody else, right? It's a different thing altogether. And it's not a necessary choice to be forced into this fight, flight, or freeze, because as I said, God is sufficient. God is abundant in all the things that we truly need to change the world. And the great good news of it is that God is not a hoarder. God doesn't stockpile power, time, or love. No, in fact, he shares it with us. And that's right, he shares it with us abundantly. So let's look at the scriptures. Let's see just a taste of God's power, the time that God has, and the love that he's already shared with us as the means by which we confront and reject this problem of scarcity. Because it is not a Christian problem. To begin with, we recognize that God has tremendous power. Now, I think whenever we're talking about a God that creates, we recognize just how awesome and mighty that God is. But the language of the scripture gives us such stunning words to link that to. There is probably no better book in the Bible to really reflect upon God's magnificence, his holiness, and yet his power than the book of Job. Job's a tough one for us to read because we know Job gets afflicted. And he gets afflicted for what seems to be a pretty capricious reason. And yet, what Job has to confront is that this awesome God who is wonderful and mighty is unrestrained in his power. And that, because we know God loves us, is nothing to fear. But I want to read to you from Job. I'm going to read Job 26, verses 7 through 14. Hear now the word of our Lord. God stretches the northern sky over the empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds don't burst with the weight. He covers the face of the moon, shrouding it with his clouds. He created the horizon when he separated the waters. He set the boundary between day and night. The foundation of heavens tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. His spirit made the heavens beautiful, and his power pierced the gliding serpent. These are just the beginning of all that he does, merely a whisper of his power. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? Right? That's a God with some power, yeah? And it is abundant. It is in the world. We see it in creation. We also see it in acts of love, where we see folks like the Hope for Caggiato do these amazing things because God shares his power with us. Hear this. This word from Ephesians 1. The Apostle Paul writes this in 1:18. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his incomparably great might. Now look, this word incomparably great might that gets translated, we lose something of it a little bit. And I don't really go into the Greek very much, but I read a sermon from Tim Keller years ago that stuck with me about this particular phrase. The two words in this great power, right, are mega, which is large or amazingly large would probably be the thing, and then dunamis, power, from which we get the word dynamite. All right, so what this passage is reading is that God is sharing his awesome, mighty, unimaginable power with us for a reason. Now, look and consider what the Bible says that we can accomplish anything. Jesus has shared his power with us through the Holy Spirit. And so we know that as we face the problem of scarcity, we can laugh. We can say we know there is sufficient power because there is a powerful God that loves us. Second matter is time. Do we have enough time to learn something? I confess I am an impatient person, and I've shared with you this stat before. But we're growing societally even less patient. The latest data says that if a web page doesn't load in 0.7 seconds, 1001, so somewhere in that, we get irate. What's up with this internet? It's almost like we forget dial-up, right? What's up with that? The thing is, as we are impatient, we're looking at things through the lens of scarcity. There's not enough time. In fact, we've taken this obsession with time, and we've said, essentially, we're going to write down things that we have to do, and that if we don't, we somehow have lived a less wonderful life, right? Bucket list. And again, I don't think these are terrible things if they're aspirational, but if we make them what we must do, then they exist, unfortunately, with a scarcity problem that can't be resolved, because you are going to run out of time, right? We all are. There is a counter with our days and hours that is ticking down. I remember in biology this amazing, depressing thought, which is senescence begins at birth. Senescence is the dying. It begins the day you're born. And if it weren't for a God that was limitless, abundant, and powerful, we would be stuck with that. That just this earthly span of years. Oh, but the promises of God's power and the promises of God's times are so staggering that they will not leave us be. John 14:9 has Jesus say this just a little later into that chapter. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live. 1 John 5:11 records it this way. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, we may look at our lives as a collection that's marked by the days, hours, and minutes that we get to live, but God doesn't see things like that, does he? You see, God, St. Augustine reminds us in Confessions, God created time. God is not somehow prey to the winds of time. It's his creation. And as such, he has chosen to bless us with an eternity of it. An eternity of it because he loves us. An eternity of love because there's just not enough hours to do all the wonderful and amazing things that God has saved up for us in the mind of the Almighty. God has enough time, and he's sharing it with you. The third thing is, we know that God has both power and time, is does he have the desire? You know, I heard a little league coach talk about it, how heartbreaking sometimes it could be to have a kid that had the talent, that had the parental involvement and thus the time to practice and really good, but they lacked, according to him, one thing. Desire. Grit. The ability to keep at it when things are down. Right? That's what it takes. It takes that desire for an athlete to succeed. It takes desire for us to translate ideas into action. And thankfully, God has enough desire because God is a God of love. And we knew that as the Old Testament was there for us, but man, do we know it now. Because in the fullness of time, God chose to send his Son, his only begotten Son, into this world. And he didn't come just on a weekend jaunt or for some fun time to learn how the other half, that is, the humans, live. No, Jesus Christ came, and in that desire of love that he had to save us, he put everything on the line to do it. See, God's love isn't limited by anything, because he was even willing to see his son take on flesh and die. He loves us that much. And because God has the power, and because God shares with us it as well as his time, and he has the desire to save us, we never have to be frightened of scarcity in anything ever again. We simply trust God. I'm going to give you an example, and then I'm going to turn us to what the session's going to do today. Now, as a little kid, I loved cats. In fact, that love continues to this day. I've got a very standard policy, and it's strict. On social media, it's either my kids or my cats. That's it. That's all you're going to see on any social media platform I have. And as I said, I love cats really from a very early age, which was unfortunate because I was born with asthma, and so severe that they thought maybe I had cystic fibrosis for a time. So in between all of this and the allergies that they thought spawned it, I couldn't have a cat. So they got me a little cat, stuffed one, called Gently. Gently was a little white stuffed animal. You know what? I've got that cat in my parents' house to this day. She, it was a girl cat, is laying in between a couple of fake, let's hope they were fake rabbit skin gloves so she could be comfortable. Because you see, there was a problem with scarcity when it came to cats when I was a kid. First of all, I had those allergies and that asthma, and back then they didn't have the kind of treatments, and if you had an asthma attack, it was you in an oxygen tent. Not fun. So my parents did everything they could to make sure the house was allergen-free, and then it being the early 70s, guidance came out that the stuff they put in stuffed animals was an allergen. Now, perhaps my parents were just too kind. They didn't take Gently from me, but there was no Gently too. There was no cat. Well, that cat, she's in a sorry state. Her eye, one of her eyes is long since gone. There's probably more types of thread in her than you can imagine, as my mom had to stitch her up time and time again. Eventually, she became so ragged that I thought it was time for her to retire, and I put that cat in that Bass shoebox with the fake, let's hope, rabbit skin gloves, rabbit fur gloves, and I thought, that's it. That's the end of the cats in my life. I want you to know something. That was not God's end. I saw a scarcity problem. God did not. Because in time, what would happen is I'd meet a really wonderful woman, right? It was a wonderful woman that had an awful lot of love for cats as well. Oh, and get this, she's a veterinarian. So there's like, well, there's a limit, but there's not as good a limit, right? A little higher. I wake up, and I am greeted by four cats, one of whom's a kitten that's taken to curling up. He's a sweetie. He actually plays fetch. I'm not kidding. I've got a video. Right? My life is filled with cats. My friends share pictures of them. I reply, I share my pictures of them. And it all happened without me doing a blessed thing. You see, God, in this problem of scarcity, will, if we'll allow him, blow it away. He will say, you think that you have everything? No, boom, here's some more. Because he loves us. Because he has the power to do it. And because he has the time. Friends, the session of our church is going to meet today. And I know there's some scuttlebutt out there. I heard a really call. I got a call earlier in the week. This is what we're going to sit down and do. I've been in a lot of churches, y'all. A lot. And I've seen everybody running scared. I've seen them come in and say, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you need to choose a target demographic. And it's got to be young women and their families. And I think, oh my gosh, how many churches have a target demographic, and do we need them? Jesus doesn't say go out and seek the 25 to 50-year-old, 4-year-old women with high disposable incomes. God says make disciples and baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit. It's not age conditioned. It's not age bracketed. If we don't succeed, Christ does, right? So let's take a fear of the church closing completely off the table, right? We don't need to be frightened about that. That's a bogus problem of scarcity, right? There's enough here. We got enough unsaved Christians within a one block radius of this house that we could save this church tomorrow. If we put the one piece that we need to get going, because we got the love. I saw it yesterday, and I've seen it in the year and a half that I've been here. And you know what? I know we have the time. Maybe not all of us, maybe not me, but the people here in this room have enough time to change the course of this church. And see, here's the thing. The one thing we may doubt, the one thing we might not think we have enough of, well, that's power. And what does God tell us? God says every power that he has, he's going to share with us, that we'll do even greater things than Jesus Christ did. So friends, I get it. I understand when scarcity comes, I find myself filing toilet paper. You find yourself doing something else. Let's let that go. Let's say I'm going to pull the switch. This car is not going to touch another human life because I'm going to give it all to Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. And friends, you know, at that point, when you've got a church where everybody's all in on Jesus, you know what the Bible tells me? You can take 12 people and change the world. And let me count. We got enough. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time in which we pray. We pray because we believe that this God that is powerful, filled with time, and abundant in his love, not only hears our prayers, but he answers them. So let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, as always, with such great and amazing gratitude in our hearts. For by the power of the Holy Spirit, you've spoken to us so clearly. You've spoken to us a word of your grace and its abundance, that no matter what we've done or will do, that Heavenly Father, you will continue to be with us. You will continue to provide us every necessary gift, every necessary call, every necessary power, so that we might reach this world that's languishing in darkness with the light of our everlasting Savior God. Friends, we know that in this time that remains to us in this earthly realm, that it remains broken by sin. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would end the ravages of sin on humanity. We ask, O Father, that where there is war, that your Spirit would descend, bringing your sweet and holy peace. We pray, O Lord, wherever there was covetousness, even if it's for a 1957 Ford T-Bird, that you would meet that envy and greet it with gratitude, O Lord. Help us be content with all that we have. Help us foster a sense of gratitude and contentment in this community through Jesus Christ. O Lord, there is sickness, and so we lift up to you in prayer all of the members of this church, as well as their extended families that find themselves on this prayer list. We think of those who are struggling, either physically or mentally, and we lift them up to you in prayer. Heavenly Father, we don't know everything everybody needs, but we know that you do, and that we know you are sufficient, abundant, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray also for all those members of families that have lost loved ones in the last, well, heck, for whenever, that still grieve. Heavenly Father, speak a word to us all, reminding us in your still small voice that there is plenty of time yet in the kingdom. A kingdom in which we'll be given new spiritual bodies unaffected by sin. A place in which you've provided for us many mansions, O Lord. Places where we can rest contentedly knowing of your abundance forever and ever. And in that sense of sufficiency and abundance, we might enjoy anew our relationship with others and our relationship with you. In those times between here and now, remind us of that kingdom, to continue to give us foretastes of it so that we might taste the sweetness of what is yet to come. Father God, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. concluding with the prayer he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offering, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in a God of abundance, providing us everything that we need. Oh Lord, as we turn and return now a portion of your abundance back, we just ask that you would sanctify this offering, using it to bring your word, your light, and your love into this world and made known. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, as we, please be seated. As we gather for the session, I am filled with great excitement and great joy because I know that we've gotten a God of abundance. I've sat in hundreds of hours of meetings, and all of them have tried to trick their way into church growth, leaving behind the one thing, the only thing necessary for a church to survive, the excitement in the relationship with Jesus Christ. of its members. When we have that excitement, the desire to share that good news with the world will come so abundantly that we will see these pews filled, and then, heaven willing, we'll find a way to plant us our own church so that some other group of people can enjoy the community and love in a small and wonderful place. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.